Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Acts. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Today at our Fresh Spirit 9 a.m. service, we welcomed our confirmation class, a group of nine students who had worked all year long towards this day into membership. So it is a joyous day in the life of our faith community. This group of eighth grade students worked all year on lots of things. They explored our faith tradition. They learned about the theological concepts that we talk about all the time in this service, and they ask questions and push back. They spent time talking about the life and ministry of Jesus, of course. They explored the idea of the Trinity and where it came from. They read familiar biblical stories through different lenses, asking questions that framed different interpretations. And the students learned about the Presbyterian Church and how we trace our roots back to thinking and the era of the Reformation. They learned about how we make decisions together, how we structure our life together as a community. We read from that book of confessions. We worked through the Apostles' Creed. They did all of this while deeply thinking, pushing back, asking questions, really engaging. It was a beautiful expression of a year together, and I give thanks for the chance that we had to celebrate their milestone today. There's this thing that the confirmation class does every year. They work together on a statement of faith. Now, many years ago, we used to actually make each student write their own statement of faith. They had to write their own, and then they had to meet with members of the session, and they read that statement of faith to the members of session, who could then ask them questions about it. We had done this for so long that we didn't give a lot of thought to how potentially scary that could be. And then one year we had a very brave student in our class who said, "You know, Dave, this is kind of a big deal and scary to do. Could we write one as a class instead of having to write all of our own?" I thought it was a beautiful and a brilliant idea, and so ever since, the class has been writing a statement of faith together. It is no less of a serious exercise. In fact, it can sometimes be harder to come up with things that the whole class wants to say together. But once again, this year's class engaged very well in that exercise. And I wanted to read to you today the statement of faith. Oh, Sarah got it. Thank you, Sarah. The statement of faith from earlier that we read in the service at 9 o'clock, I wanted us to read together as a body at the 11 o'clock as well. So would you please read with me the words that the confirmation class wrote? We believe in an almighty creator who made all creation and yet is also mindful of us and loves us more than we can know. Jesus is another expression of that creator God who came to live among us, who died for our sins and saves us. Jesus teaches us through parables and by modeling how to love God and each other by living out the commandments in real ways. The Spirit, another part of the Trinity, teaches us still. The church we want to be a part of continues that work of Jesus by teaching and doing. We learn about the scriptures here, the liturgical seasons, how to accept and learn from one another, and how to be present together in good times and bad. We are called to live out what we are learning here outside these walls. The world is in need of God and the church. Wars, violence, depression, climate change, and lack of resources threaten people for those on the margins. We want to be a part of the church that stands up to these things and calls for the rights of all so we may love more like God. Amen, kids. This was quite a statement, I thought. I was really taken with this year's class's words that they came up with together. I would commend to you this exercise to think deeply about your own faith, what it is that you believe. Take time, write it down, edit it, wrestle with the words, with the weight of the claims that you are writing. Try to sum up where you are on your journey of faith, where you have been, where you are headed together. It can be a really powerful exercise to deepen your own faith. This year's statement that we just read was particularly powerful, and I was really struck especially by the last paragraph. When we asked the kids to express what kind of church they wanted to join in conversation with what is going on around the world, they said, "The world is in need of God and the church. Wars, violence, oppression, climate change, and lack of resources threaten peace for those on the margins. We want to be a part of a church that stands up to these things and calls for the rights of all so that we may love more like God." Love more like God. Honestly, I could just sit down right now. There's not a lot more to say than that, is there? We want to be a part of a church that the world needs right now, they said. We want to be present for those who are hurting. We want to love more like God. These are not just empty statements on a page. This is the desire of the next generation of our church community, friends, They want to love more like God loves. The youth are being very biblical here, of course. Our scripture that Evan just read to us from the Gospel of John finds Jesus saying the very same thing. This moment occurs right before his crucifixion. Judas has just left to put into motion his betrayal. And so Jesus knows that suffering and death are mere moments away for him. There is precious little time left to teach his followers before he will have to leave them. And so he chooses the most important lesson, one last plea for his followers. I give you a new commandment, he says, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. Our confirmation class got it right. Jesus isn't saying that perfect theology or reciting everything that we learned this year in class word for word will be the mark of his disciples. Instead, it is the way that we love each other. Real, deep, meaningful, difficult, transforming love. The kind of love that he showed in his time that he had with us in human form. The church that our youth want to join today, the community that Jesus wanted to leave for his followers, was one built upon and recognized by the way that it loves others. One of the big pushes that we made this year in our thinking about confirmation was to make sure that the youth knew that this was not graduation from high school. Graduation from Sunday school. It does happen sometimes that the youth who are confirmed come to this church on Confirmation Sunday, they take a class photo, they have a piece of cake, and then we don't see them a lot after that. We don't want that to be the norm for our students. We want the youth who join the church to participate, to engage, to grow, and to walk with us. In the coming weeks, we will be offering them a lot of ways to participate with us going forward, to make music with us, to usher, to participate in and hopefully plan mission events, outreach opportunities, to serve in leadership roles as deacons or elders. We want to do a really good job of welcoming these newest members into membership, of partnering with them, connecting them with people who are serving in the roles that they're interested in, creating experiences and opportunities to help them grow in their faith. And there's another really important job that we all have as the current body in which they are joining. We need to really listen to their words that they have written for us today. We need to hear them say to us, the church we want to be a part of continues the work of Jesus by teaching and by doing. It stands up for those on the margins who are hurting. It calls for the rights of all. When we hear these words, we then need to ponder, how can we continue to become a part of that church? A stagnant church out there tells people, this is the way that we do things. We hope you can find a way to fit into that. A vibrant, Spirit-led church says, this is the way we do things. We hope you can find a place in that. And tell us your vision of what God is calling us to do now that you are here. We are different and changed and better because you have joined this congregation. And God can now do new and exciting things with us because of the gifts that you bring. How can we all now more fully become that church that these young people want to join? It's a question I hope we're always asking ourselves. The Presbyterian motto that we always say, reformed and always reforming, that means at our core we always want to be growing and evolving into something more like the community that Jesus desired. What does it mean for you and me, for the newest members of our community, to work on having a church like that? We get a great example of the church being recognized by love from our other scripture this morning from the book of Acts. We hear of a woman called Tabitha. Tabitha participated and cared for her family of faith so deeply and devoutly. She clothed them. She cared for them. She did many good works for and among them. It was so significant to these people that when she died, the grief was absolutely overwhelming for these people. Tabitha has the great distinction of being the only person in the New Testament specifically designated as a female disciple. She is given that distinction because she was living out the words of Jesus. She loved others selflessly, fully. That is how people knew that she followed Christ, because of her love for others. She's a shining example of what it means to live in a community of faith, to care for and about the people that we're surrounded by. Take a moment right now. Can you think of a Tabitha in your own life? Someone who always shows up. Someone who shows kindness and compassion, who gives of themselves. Someone who uses her talents and time to help people in need, who live out the gospel message through their example to others. Our confirmation class today could have as well written, "We want to join a church that is full of Tabithas." Tabithas are all around us right now, in this space, in our lives. These people are easy to identify as followers of Jesus because of the way they love each other. There's a really neat part of this story that I don't want us to miss. While the story certainly speaks about a woman who cared for her own community, those directly around her, I think that her shining example is also meant to help us turn our hearts toward empathy, not just for our own community, but for empathy towards our neighbors, even those of different tribes. This story is found in the book of Acts, which is often referred to in theological studies as 2 Luke. And that's because it is thought that the same author who wrote the Gospel of Luke also wrote the book of Acts. There are many overarching themes that are similar between the two. The use of Greek is the same in both. And notice that Tabitha is named in several ways. She is first called Tabitha, which is her name in Aramaic, the common Hebrew language of first century Jews. She is then given the name Dorcas, which translates as gazelle. That was her name in Greek. One of Luke's primary goals in both his gospel and the book of Acts is to tell the world the good news is not just for one group of people. It is for all who want to hear it. Jews and Gentiles alike. It's a reminder to us that Gazelle's example of loving and caring for others applies not just here in our own community, but also outside of these walls to the people that most need to hear the good news. Our youth got that right too, didn't they? Both of our texts today focused on characters that loved and died, but did not stay that way. Jesus and Tabitha both were resurrected. Love has a way of being resurrected, of continuing on, of taking new shapes and forms and energies. And now it's up to us. The world is in need of God and the church, our youth wrote. How do we become a part of that work, friends? How do we celebrate that our congregation grew in size today with new ideas and new talents and new wisdom and new energy? And how do we use all of that to help us love more like God together? In the coming weeks, these youth will be asked to identify the areas they want to connect with some of you all with. I hope that can be a question that we all are asking all of the time. Where is the Spirit of God moving me toward acting in love? Maybe through music or worship, through mission, through fellowship, through learning, through teaching. How can we be more like Tabitha? How can we love more like Jesus? Those are the ways that we will be known. That is the church that our youth want to join today. Thanks be to God for their reminder and their example of love.